Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 442, Escape Room.
Or
Escape Room? The Escape Room? Is that the?
Escape Room.
Okay. Escape Room.
Yeah. Kids
or like, Saw PG-13.
Yes.
Yes.
I've never seen
much.
Saw.
This
okay.
is the...
What?
The big...
Okay. So I will say, how do you feel about torture porn?
I mean, I don't really care for it. I saw, that's why I never got around to seeing
okay.
Saw. And I saw the first
Hostel. And I was just, started it.
And I was just like,
gross.
I don't, this is not for
it's
me.
Not, no, okay. So I, at least, so that Hostel did it just to be gross.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Saw and Saw 2.
Those are solid.
They're very good.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I know they've
because,
got
because like they're
a lot of people love. Like they've got great reviews. They're not just popular movies.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Aquaman's James Wan.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
And I've really liked James Wan movies, except for the car one. And
Fast and Furious.
Like?
Yeah, I don't like any of those movies.
That's
they're
awful.
I get it. But
they're awful.
Yeah. They're fun. Once they owned that they were superhero movies, yeah. they're just as fun as they're like comic book movies.
Yeah. Kind of, you know?
Except that they're awful.
Oh, so, okay.
But I really like the Conjuring movies. I just recently saw Insidious.
So good.
And was like really blown away at how good that movie
was. One and two
were great.
Yeah, I was like really forward.
I didn't finish two yet.
Yeah, and two was good. Two
yeah.
was
really good.
If you haven't, you need to finish two.
I'm like, how are they going to?
Oh, it's super clever.
Yep.
Okay. It's like I was when they resolved that.
Yep.
When I saw
in
what
the
they were
one
doing,
or the second one,
Yeah. I was just like, this is so much smarter than it has any right to.
Because after the
James
first
Wan
one,
is a smart
and they pick
dude.
Up, I'm like, what are they doing
right?
here? Like,
totally.
Right?
I watched it the same way, and then when it like locked into where they were headed, I was like, holy cow!
Okay, okay.
Like
I'm
these guys he's got it figured out.
Yeah. He's a smart man.
I gotta watch. I watched the first one with Ryan because I think we talked about it. I was watching PG-13 horror movies.
Sure.
He's getting to the age, and he's like, I want to watch a horror movie. What can I watch? And so
Monster Squad.
We both no. I said you are never allowed to watch. That
oh, yeah.
You want to be grounded?
Yeah, don't.
But we watched Insidious, you know, and enjoyed it, and we started the second, and then just we stopped it, and then forgot to pick it back
it's
up.
Good.
I thought this was a really, really good PG-13 horror movie. Escape Room.
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
The same thing.
I walked in with zero desire to see this movie,
same.
And
yeah.
and I left yeah. going. I was reasonably yeah. entertained by a genre of film I don't
I was,
care about.
I was well, good until the end.
Well, let's do introductions.
Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Brad.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. If you want to, if you like the show so much, you want to help out more than just being a
then
legal
why don't
show,
you marry it?
Yeah, you can do that. It's legal in 14 states now.
Marrying podcasts. Yeah, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, love is love,
yeah,
Joe.
Nope, that's true.
Might be
yeah.
a good publicity stunt. Which one of us isn't already married? Oh.
Oh,
Brad,
hey,
looks like
you
you're
go.
Marrying a podcast.
Congratulations, yeah. buddy.
So, we're, oh, you can,
we get,
oh,
the, we get the wedding gifts. That's fine. You don't get anything.
Oh, are like we collectively the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get the gifts.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's not marrying us. He's just marrying
the show. But he's getting married, too. Why doesn't he get some gifts?
No.
Yeah.
We can register at Newegg so they can buy equipment for us. So you can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where you get bonus content for the low price of $5 a month, just a way to help out fund things like our Newegg registry.
That's right.
So so there's all that. Escape room.
So the thing is, too, going back to what Tom said with this movie, so I didn't have any interest in seeing it. I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, this, even in the previews that I ended up seeing, it looks like Saw, but applying the fad of escape rooms.
Right.
But the thing is, I've my entire life loved puzzles and mysteries like that. So talking about video games for the gamers out there. So Myst, what was it? Riven?
Riven is a sequel. Yep.
The Seventh Guest.
Yep.
11th Hour. There's a game called Room on mobile devices, Room 1, 2, and 3. And it's all about puzzles and solving them to get to the next place and the mystery behind it. So this movie was right up my alley because it's just as much about the puzzles as it is the kills and the crazy stuff.
I wish the puzzles, for the most part, were more designed for the audience
solvable
to play along.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally. You know,
I get that.
There was only, I felt like, one that was really that the audience could play along with, and it was super simple.
Yep.
The holiday one.
Yeah.
Totally.
I was just like, really? Like, we're pretending like we don't know the answer
yeah,
to this?
Right.
So it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination. And no. I agree with you on the ending. When we start to get an explanation, I was like,
No. We're in the same boat.
I think I was better off with no explanation.
Which is like, so obviously in Saw, I don't want to spoil it for you. If you doubt, are you going to see it?
Maybe
leave it open for him. Okay. Don't spoil
it. So like, when it gets to the end, and everything gets revealed, you're like, oh, that's really smart. Yeah. Like, it makes complete sense.
Right. That ending of the first Saw is a mind blower. It's one that people talked about.
I will never forget.
Like Sixth Sense.
It is on the level of Sixth Sense. Okay. Where you're just like, what is happening? So as they're as Saw is going through their movie, like, you're never really given why these people are in this room together. And what is their connection?
Right.
Where this one is, you're getting they don't have any connection to each other. Like, they're just sole survivors of an incident. So like, your main character survived a plane crash and everybody died. The investment banker survived a boat accident and survived. Karen from Daredevil survived an IED explosion.
Which is better than surviving an IUD explosion.
Awful.
Those are
terrible.
Very few survivors.
None.
Very
I don't
few.
Think.
Yeah.
So like, they're all
that girl on wrestling the other night.
Well, that wasn't an IUD. It didn't explode.
Well,
it wasn't uterine device.
She got it out of there before.
It was because I was going to say the other one looked like it. Yeah.
Well, that's true. So like, they take the Saw formula and make it a PG-13 movie. And I think that's super smart.
They take the Saw formula and they apply escape rooms to it.
They do.
I mean, all this is...
Which also, I feel like Saw is an escape room.
Totally.
Just
but
you have
but
to
I
cut
mean,
your own foot off.
But I mean, escape room is in the games that people participate
in. Escape rooms have become very popular.
Yeah, this is Saw with an escape room skin on it. That's all it is. But like, again, with the puzzles and everything, although even though the audience doesn't get to participate as much as you'd like to, and I love to try to solve things like movies that have mysteries that you can solve, that's fun. But I still found myself kind of living through the characters to where while they were solving them, I'm like, I'm really into this. Like, I didn't get to solve them, but having them solve it and figure out puzzles, I'm like, yeah, I'm digging this. And it just was really entertaining to me.
Really concerned. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's what we do.
Yeah, I was really concerned at the beginning when they did what's going to be a scene later on in the movie. Yeah.
Right.
But he was explaining what he was doing the whole time. And I'm like, I hope the whole movie isn't like this. Like, I need this number. I need to put these numbers together. I need to do this. And like, who are you talking to, man?
Right.
I also think that was a really good way to open it because it definitely
sets the mood.
It led me to be like, what is happening?
And it takes a while to get to that level.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's a way to inject some action and excitement into the movie
early,
because if not, you're not getting anything for like 35 to 40 minutes.
You have to introduce all of your characters.
And I will also say, retroactively, it kind of makes sense that he was talking to himself because he was the worst one at solving the puzzles.
That's true.
Yeah. So I could see him like talking through it.
Is that Ben? You know? Is that the character's name? Ben?
Yeah. Not Ben Foster?
Not Ben Foster.
Yeah.
So I was, because, and the other thing too is at that point, this guy is like very distressed and disheveled. So the whole movie, I'm like, is that him? Like, I'm not that good with faces too. And I'm like, is that the same guy? Like, so it led me to be like, well, this is interesting. How are we going to get here? And what is happening? You know, and it kept me in the back of my mind thinking, how are we going to get to this point? And was that, like, at first I thought it was going to be fake. Like, did you guys think when we saw I thought that was going to be a game, it was going to buzz and the walls were going to stop closing.
Did you ever see was it April Fool's Day? April Fool's Day was this slasher flick.
Yeah.
And they brought together like a who's who of like people who had been in slasher flicks. And then when they get to the end of the spoilers for this movie, when you get to the end of the movie, everybody you thought was dead, it was all a joke.
Yeah. I think did we do that?
Because
I remember that. And I
don't
know why I would have watched that movie, but I feel like I remember that ending that all the people were like,
and it was, and that's what I thought we were getting.
You sure we didn't review that?
I'm positive.
Why would I have seen that movie?
I've never seen it. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were going to get, is that at the end of this movie,
I didn't think at the end.
I thought at the end it was going to be revealed that everybody was a plant except her.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was going to be, until we actually started seeing people die.
Yes. I thought it was
I thought it was going to be that they weren't really dying. They were being removed from the game.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was it, that it, I mean, it's because. It's,
that's what I thought until the kid under the ice.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Karen's
death could have been questionable because she fell down into a pit of black. She could have been a net or something like the game.
Right.
And the kid
that fell in through the ice, they could have sucked him right out.
But
they say there's a current under there. Like, if you go down there, you're going to get taken in as well. And I was like, they're just sucking him out.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you do kind of see him in the. I mean, he doesn't make it, but
yeah.
But
they could have faked that.
They could have.
Yeah, but watching this, my first thought was the game.
Especially since the teacher sets it up, too. Like, you should go out and adventure, you know, do something that you're scared of this weekend or something.
Yeah. Right, and I thought, well, the other thing is, too, is that the way they set this up, how each person has a different character that supposedly gives them the invitation in the puzzle.
Right.
You think that somehow they're all in on it. Like, you thought this was all going to be come together for some greater meaning other than what it is. And I'm not saying the result is bad, but in my mind, I'm trying to connect the dots. Why are these people inviting them? Are they all tied together somehow? I'm waiting for connections. And like Joe said early on, I mean, we end up, they all share independently that they're still survivors.
You get why the game selected them, but you don't get how the game
found them,
gave them the invitation to join.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I just assume that. If we're gonna deal with like a super secret shadow,
obviously they've got intel. They're just,
you know what I mean,
surveilling.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the beginning though opens up with this character.
Yeah, this
Ben.
Kid Ben like falls through into like a study almost, and he's trying to figure out. Like he finds also in escape rooms. I've learned don't touch anything. Wait till you figure. Like,
well, we learned this from the first scene where people start doing stuff and the room heats up. Yeah. You're like, stop touching.
Yeah, stop touching. Well, I think that was on a timer. Like, they touched the one thing.
No, she turned the oven on and it.
Yeah, but then everything else was.
I don't think so. He pulls the extinguisher and then another thing happened.
Everything
they did got them
closer.
Stop
touching stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, because the one guy, the banker, is like, let's hurry up. I want to get out of here, whatever. I'm like, no, maybe you guys should think about the puzzles.
Yeah,
for
that was
second.
That was break. Jason is that guy. Yeah. Okay. So, the whole opening scene is this character, Ben, falls to the ceiling into like a study almost, and he's trying to figure out, and there's like
a national treasure puzzle.
It does,
you know, where he's
where he's got to look at a map
and the time and the hands of the clock and the green this book,
the green
and
book,
like,
and so there. But what he does is there's a number board, and he immediately goes for the number one. And I was like, why don't you just chill out for a second?
He shouldn't have touched it because he's like, there's 12 numbers and 4 slots,
and he moves
and he clicks one, and it starts moving. So I'm like, maybe solve the puzzle first.
Yeah, right.
Are you just gonna guess combinations?
I mean, there's 10 numbers. Yeah. I don't think you're the Flash and can figure this out in you know.
At this point, I get though he's very freaked out over the events that will now unfold,
which is fine, but at the same time you've just lived through 4 rooms where somebody touched something and something bad happened. Touch anything.
I just think it's like at this point his brain probably was not functioning properly.
It's possible. So he moves the one, and then all of a sudden the walls start closing in, and he's not moving fast enough, and you think the whole scene ends with him getting crushed in this room. And I was like, okay, it's Saw for PG-13, smart. It's a way to, you know, get a PG-13 horror movie. Obviously, Blumhouse has that genre by the balls, and has mastered the PG-13 movie on a shoestring budget.
Yeah. So well, rubbing a bomb pop.
Yeah, rubbing up a
literally
foot, rubbing
a shoestring.
Yeah. So other studios, I think this is Sony.
Sony
is like, we can, what? Yeah. Why are we giving all of our money away? Like, we can do this.
I told Brad, I'm like, this isn't Screen Gems. You would think a horror would be Screen Gems, but it's like straight up Sony.
It is Sony. So then we cut back to the main character of this movie, Zoe, is in school, and I feel like she's 14.
Yeah. Like she's very young.
She's playing it super young.
She's in college, though. That has to be college, right?
She could still be 14 college.
Well, I think if she was 14 in college, we would have been told that.
That's true, but I feel like she's like super smart.
Yeah,
she's next level smart.
Yeah, she's clearly like genius level smart.
So I guess I just felt like maybe she was out of, she's a fish out of water, because, but she could be 18. Yeah.
Well, she's 24 in real life, so I don't think she was playing a 14-year-old.
Really, Ben? What's his name? The guy we just saw, Jesse Bradford.
Well, I get that he can, but I'm just saying she's 24. I don't think she was in this movie.
That's true.
But I think if she was that young, it would have been a plot point.
Yeah. So she's in class, and the teacher asks a question, and she doesn't raise her hand because she has social anxiety.
She thinks about it. But yeah.
Yeah. She thinks too hard. She's written down she writes the right answer. Yeah. And she's going to raise her hand, and
she's clearly smart.
Yeah. Yes.
But dealing with some issues.
Dealing with some stuff. So the teacher is just kind of like, you know, kind of calls her over, and I was like, this, you're a creepy teacher.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can totally see that she has some kind of infatuation with him. I mean, you think that it's going to turn into the professor student,
right? Who I think he's the guy with the boxes.
That's what I think. Mind afterwards,
yeah. I think if this gets a sequel, we're going to get the reveal that the teacher is actually the guy behind the shadowy organization.
You think because he's like smart and like?
Well, I think at the end, like he targets her again.
Interesting.
Right? Like he goes after her again. Granted,
it'd be weird to be an ultra rich elite person covering as a college professor, though. Like these are like these
the guy in Saw. Well, god dang it, I can't say.
I'm just saying, it's interesting. It's an interesting theory. Yeah.
So she kind of has, we meet her roommate, it's a college, and I gotta tell you, this is the first time, it very rarely does it happen in movies. It happened in Happy Death Day, which, by the way, I saw a trailer for Happy Death Day 2, and I was like,
did you see the sequel looks better.
I agree.
Like, I feel like they figured out what made that movie work.
Yep.
And then they doubled down on
it. Yep.
Great though that, like, so first of all, that movie was a lot of fun.
So
and
much
they,
fun.
They did it right. And then to not do something completely stupid and to double down,
right?
Like, that's this, I love it when studios get it and they're like, okay, we don't want to screw the pooch here. Like,
And they don't do sequels. I mean, they do sequels the right way. Yeah. Like, if they're not
Dracula 2000.
That's not Blumhouse, is it?
Yeah. Well, it's Jason Blum's production.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Wait, is that a sequel? That's not a sequel.
Well, it's a 2000th movie.
That's true. Is that not what they
listed
as?
Did you see the first 1999?
Did you party like it?
What is that? Is that the one with Gerard Butler?
It's Johnny Lee Miller's in it. That's all I know.
Is that the one where...
I don't think Gerard Butler's in it.
I think Gerard Butler might be Dracula.
That was BG.
No.
That was 2000 BG.
No, but I think Dracula 2000 is the one where he's Dracula.
Maybe. He played the Phantom of the Opera.
True. Yeah. So
we get the Johnny the Traitor after her. We get
Jason.
Jason the Traitor.
Who also, I'm just like
a day trader.
Yeah.
He's not like, he's not committing treason.
No, right. I'm like, kill this guy.
He's
like,
not.
Immediately.
I thought it was bartering leather skins and supplies,
beaver pelts.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like, I'm like, this guy needs to go. Like, I don't like him already. Yeah. There's no redeeming qualities.
He's obviously
about this
a
guy.
Douche. He's a high. He's a, you know, a stock trader that thinks he's hot stuff. And, you know, oh, this guy's gonna invite me.
But
on
also, like,
boat.
He's gonna give me a gift.
Yeah.
Watch. I'll bet you $10 million. He gets me a gift. Oh, I can't accept that gift, sir. Yeah. So we were introduced to him, and then we're introduced to Ben.
At a grocery store. He's like a stock boy because he can't be on the front lines. We know that he did something.
Well, I just thought it was like because he's a drug addict or he's, you know,
yeah,
driving
that's
a mess.
What I thought too.
And the guy's just like, I don't like the way you look, brother.
The way he said it, that he's like, you can't be on. I'm like, something happened where public would know him.
Right. Well, that's what I feel we're in a small town and public knows that he's kind of a screw up.
Well, he's working at a grocery store. It's clearly 1953.
He's marking things.
He's putting, he's got a price mark. Like, he's putting price tags on all the cans.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell grocery store are you in?
There's a market here in town called LeGrand's that's a very,
the best sandwiches.
God dang right.
Oh, my God. That price tickers on
but
every
I mean,
item.
Like, they are definitely, they have an old-timey, shop on the corner feel.
Yeah.
Because they still have
Shop A.
Ooh, excuse me. but they have, like, an old, they used to be, it was a tomboy is what it used to be. So it was, like, an old neighborhood drugstore / grocery store, but they've kind of kept that feel. so they still have like price tags on things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. But yes, 1950 grocery store where Ben is tagging things.
But so we know he has a troubled past. He can't be out in public. He has to work behind the scenes. So he isn't making a lot of money, obviously. And
right.
So all these people have their different reasons that they want to be involved with this. So they get these mysterious boxes.
Right.
And, you know, and they say,
what I was saying, very rarely in movies do they capture what a dorm room looks like.
Oh.
And this is one of the few times I was like, I've seen dorm rooms that look like that. Like, yeah. It's pretty good. Well done.
There you go.
But Happy Death Day had one as well. That was like, that looks, I've been inside dorm rooms that look just like that.
Just for the record, you're not weird. You work at a college.
Well, I mean, I was also I was also of college age at one point, so yes.
When a 35-year-old guy is like, I'm very familiar with what the inside of a dorm room looks like.
Right.
You have reason.
I have a reason to be there.
I was
there.
In a dorm room like that last night.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Don't put that on me.
Were you not at work last night?
I mean, yeah. No.
I don't know if he's patrolling dorm rooms.
I was at a funeral.
At night?
It's a bereavement.
But the funeral was in a dorm room.
That's true. Yeah, it was. It was very small.
Right.
Room. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't have your entire schedule on my Palm Pilot, Joe.
I mean, I know that I'm not movie boyfriend Brad.
No.
And you guys have your
schedules. You have your own movie boyfriend.
I do. I saw him the other day.
I know you. At a movie.
Not at a movie.
Oh.
In his basement.
Oh.
Which now that I realize that's not as helping my case.
Well, Joe, you really pulled one over on us.
Anyway, so yeah, we're introduced to all these characters. Then finally, they all go. So we see Jason and Zoe are both working, trying to get the box to open. And I feel like Jason does it by accident.
I love how they each solved it in different ways.
Yeah.
So like she solved it because she's smart.
Right.
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 Not Ben Foster solved it by just brute force. The day trader actually solved it by going to YouTube.
Going online and watching videos.
Yeah. That's right.
He was like, well, there's a tutorial that'll show me.
Right. And
which is what I would do.
Right.
I actually really loved this montage.
Yeah.
The music, the editing of them all solving the same parts at different times.
I thought it was Zoe solving it. Like, I felt like they were all on a time, like, linked. Like, I felt like all the boxes were linked.
Oh.
So as Zoe would solve one, the other guy would be like, oh, look what I did. But it was actually Zoe solving the puzzle.
Oh, no.
But I think you're right. Like, obviously.
It was just really cool editing the way they did it. I'm like, I'm on board. This is fun.
The line that I did like that Ben had where he's like, yeah, let's give this to a guy that failed eighth grade math.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a pretty good line. So they all they break open the box, they fix it, and they can't figure out what the deal with it is. They close it back up, and this little card pops out, and it says, you've been invited
to Willy Wonka's factory.
It's a golden ticket. So our characters go
solve our newest escape room, win $10,000.
Right. Which, so $10,000?
Yeah, that was what I was like.
Real. This year, how long is this?
Especially for those kids. Ben Foster
for the day trader.
Oh, no. He explained it. He thought it was his client giving it to him, and he wanted to save.
I get
face.
That, but he talks later about, like, I want that.
He's
10
like,
grand.
It's $10,000. I was like, why?
And I just like,
I feel like you just closed a $100 million deal. Why do you care about $10,000?
Yeah, $10,000's nothing to him.
But at least he says that he's like, I have to make face because this is one of my clients that gave me.
I get why he went. Right. Like he would seem genuinely motivated by the money once he got.
But he is a money. I mean, still, his commission on $1 million deal isn't $1 million. Like $10,000 just to get out of a game. That's still. Yeah. He still wants. I think it just shows he's motivated by the money.
Yeah, but once you see what you have to do in the game,
I don't want that money.
Yeah,
but at that point though, he is like, I want to be alive too.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, I don't have a choice. So then we're introduced to Tyler Labine, who I love that guy.
I love that
he's
dude.
So
I was
good.
So happy to see him.
I know.
And
he was in Tucker and Dale versus Evil. He was on.
He was
Reaper.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I couldn't tell. Like,
have you ever seen Reaper?
The first episode that Kevin Smith directed, I saw. But
you need to watch that whole series.
It's really? A good show.
It's so good.
I only watched the first one.
It's the first season. It sucks because it's only like a 2-season thing.
Yeah.
Was it 2? I thought it made it to 3.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And they get like, it gets canceled. So they leave season 2 on a cliffhanger and you're like, what happens now?
Oh.
But it's insanely good.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a fun show.
Tucker and Dale.
Is he the main guy?
Yeah.
Okay,
Alan Tudyk.
Right,
he's lost a bunch of weight.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I'm like, because the guy with the big beard,
yes.
The big guy with
that's him.
Okay, now I know.
Yeah,
I
he's
just,
very funny.
Okay, sure.
He's in Zack and Miri.
Is he?
Yeah. So that when they're filming at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
When the drunk dude that walks in the middle of them filming a porno, He's like, oh, yeah, that's Tyler Labine.
Okay. And he was also on the short-lived alien show Invasion.
Hmm.
It ran for like a season.
Yeah.
It was good. It was kind of like when people were trying to make Lost type shows.
Right.
And okay. It was like aliens come to this like small town and like who's an alien, who isn't.
Because right,
they kind of
right,
right. like, body snatchers.
He was also on one that was like, it was a, he ended up like adopting three boys. It was like a Fox TV show that one of those Fox ones that
also got canceled.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a guy that's been in tons of stuff that's been good and he's been good.
Yep.
But it just hasn't clicked for him, which right. is a shame
because he's very funny.
Because I like him a lot.
I do okay. as well. So, yeah. So we've got all of these characters.
And there's like and a really nerdy escape room kid that's done 100 of these rooms.
Yeah. And so. He's like, this is the one. It's interesting. Like he even says he's like, this has been like one of the top rated rooms.
Yeah.
And that was Danny.
Yeah.
It was that kid.
And I'm guessing that whoever's running this escape room, we find out, you know, more about them later, but I'm guessing they're putting like fake reviews up and, you know,
right.
they're
right.
obviously manipulating things to get people
to in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go into the first room and they're all kind of sitting there and they think they're waiting for.
We only see one other person. It's that security guard that knows what's up. Because I'm trying to. Well, I guess and the games master eventually. But you know what I mean. I'm thinking
yeah.
like, what does this guy have to do? Because we don't see anyone but our characters till the end of the movie, except for the security guard.
Maybe the security guard's the guy.
Exactly. And he
Maybe.
Says, "Thank you for your service." So I was wondering, like, is he going to play a bigger part? But
well, we see that there are a lot.
I would also say it's a high rise building, and so it could be that the.
Yeah, but he does say thank you when
he knew she was.
Yeah.
She
okay,
was.
Thank
Sorry.
You for your service.
I was thinking right. it could be a building employee, not necessarily.
But we
oh,
also
he says
see...
thank you for your service because he knew everything about her.
Uh-huh. Right.
But we also see that there's other people involved with this
sure.
thing. So
no, that makes more sense. He might just be one of the, just a lackey. And I get it now that she's like, how would you know I serve?
Right.
You're a security guard at a, like a doorman.
Right.
But he knew
he
everything
does say
about
thank
her.
Thank you
so
for your service
yeah.
so he knows who Got she it. Is. So all of our characters kind of converge in this room. They knock on like a old-timey like doctor's partition
yeah.
window
yeah.
and they're just like, just have a seat, somebody will be with you shortly. Zoe figures out very quickly that she's like, that woman said the same thing and with the exact same cadence.
Yeah,
I mean, how long does it take to figure out after over and over hearing
sure.
a recording?
But
like,
you really only heard it twice,
right?
But I
I think that whoever was there the longest heard it,
but I will say I heard
whatever.
Second time I was like, well, that's not a thing.
Yeah. I did the exact same thing. I was like, that was that's a recording that
sure.
was said exactly the same way both times.
So mm-hmm. the Ben is just kind of like, you know, I'm out of here. This is stupid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't blame you, Ben.
Yeah.
This is getting
I'm
wonky.
With Ben in most of this. Seriously though, and like
I'm not with him in the freezy room where he's a complete douchebag.
Well, no. But like with like let's
well,
like
you said most
like yeah let's take the fire extinguisher off the wall. I'm gonna start
right.
bashing stuff. I'm like yeah at this and then Danny's like no you're not supposed to use blah blah, blah. I'm like
not supposed
I'm
to
like,
use force.
No, at this point I'm with you because that little window has a little lock on it, a
right.
little tiny metal lock. I'm like I am bashing the crap out of
right.
that with whatever
right.
I can find.
Or I'm looking for a key.
Well, yeah, but if you can't, I mean, screw the key. I'm
right,
gonna bash
right.
that window in and get in there.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, now they realize that they're in the room
yeah.
And they're kind of looking for stuff. And Ben pulls Ben pulls the handle off the door and they're just like, way to go, jerk off. And he's like, I didn't do it. I'm like, what?
Well, they're like, you broke it. He's like, I didn't break it. It broke.
it
I
broke.
Like that because it's true. You know.
And there's a dial like in the door handle
yeah.
where the door handle was. And somebody even says like it looks like an oven
yeah.
thing. So Zoe sees that they have Fahrenheit 451. She turns it to 451 degrees, and it kicks on
yeah.
these two.
That's another one I solved. Like, I
yeah.
mean, it's talking about people solving stuff. Like, I saw that book, and I'm like, oh, well, clearly.
But,
right.
but they did it wrong. Like, that's Fahrenheit 4. That book triggered the
yeah.
heat.
The
heat.
But it was still part of the puzzle, I think.
I think, yeah, the puzzle to get him killed.
Misdirect.
yeah. Gotcha.
So, yeah, so now they're just like, oh, we're in the room. And, of course, the Danny, who's, like, the gamer kid, is like, no, like, we're not going to get hurt. Like, they don't want to hurt anybody. And I was just like, oh, they're going to hurt all of you.
Well, that's an interesting question, though. You bring up just to backtrack to the, you know, they solved it wrong or did the wrong thing. It's like, are any of these puzzles solvable without getting hurt or killed?
I mean, I think so
it's
because
for entertainment.
Well, I mean, I think that they're solvable or there wouldn't be a follow-up room.
Right.
They would just bring it, you know what I mean?
Like, no. I mean solvable without
yeah,
defying
no,
death.
No. So because like
are any of them solvable where they just move on?
Gotcha.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think they're supposed to put the oven on and I think they're supposed to frantically.
Yeah, is it the oven ever
when she turned that dial, did it unlock anything?
No.
Or, no, yeah, that's what I...
Heated up. So I don't think it... obviously, when he pulls the fire extinguisher off the wall and that triggers the columns to turn into giant heaters, that is different, right? Like, he has to pull that thing off to get to the key. Like, that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, because there is a way to solve the room without getting injured.
Well, no, because as soon as he pulls the fire extinguisher off the wall, the columns in this room turn into heaters.
The way you solve the room, we find out, is you fill the glass with water. You fill the glasses with water, and you set it in the different things on the table.
But didn't they have to get to the phone?
And it opens the thing.
Did they not have to get to the phone? Because
the
key
in the phone
opens.
Room, it tells you to follow the directions, and that's the directions tell you to use the coasters, and then
that's true. If they would have went straight to that, then right. In theory, they could have.
So
I see.
I think we see at the end that they have a system to calculate what the odds of someone solving the room are,
right?
Because we find out. To my point is that we. We need to have them go through this stuff because the whole purpose of this is to be entertained.
And they want them weeded out.
Yeah.
Well, they also, each room represents
a fear.
Why the person is there.
Yeah. Right.
So
why a different individual.
Correct.
Is there.
So in this one,
each room is tailored to a certain
person's
origin story.
Yes, exactly.
And I really like that idea.
No,
I think
thought
that's that was
really.
And as we got more and more flashbacks and we find out what the different rooms have in them, I'm like, that's really clever. Yeah. I kind of was hoping for them all coming together in a different way in the end, but still, the journey along the way was really interesting to learn about the similarities.
Right. So this first one is all heat. Like, this room is heating up. Like, oh, they have these columns turn into giant oven. Like, it's turning into a giant oven, basically.
And
Deborah Ann Woll's character has a thing for fire.
Yeah, she was
not for fire. She does not like fire.
Badly burned.
We find she was in Iraq and her car blew up and she was burned really bad.
Yeah.
But so like at first when she's in the room, she's looking at all the magazines and they're all stories about a building on fire and a magazine about fire.
Yeah.
So they had already started messing with them.
Right.
With her, at least for this room customized to her early on.
Right. And so they figure it out. And then we don't lose anybody in this room. They figure out that the rule on the wall is like Dr. Wu.
Wu-Tan Wu or something.
Wu-Tan
Wu,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says that you need to use coasters.
Yeah, Wu-Tan
Yu.
Why you.
So like so Deborah Ann Woll is freaking out at this point because it's getting so like it's ridiculously hot in this room.
Well, she is freaking out in the beginning too, and they're like, take off your jacket, like chill out.
And you can see kind of the burns on her back, and then they offer her a cup of water, which turns into something.
Yeah.
So we find out that the rule for this room is you need to use the coaster. So Zoe runs over and pushes down one of the coasters, and this
was so frustrating to me because I'm like, you have a water dispenser and glasses,
right?
Like, I'm like, they're all holding each one of them. There's six coasters and six people pressing them down. I'm like, you know about this, we know about this, like go fill them up and put them in there. Right. it was I'm like yelling in my mind at the screen, like solve the puzzle. Like, don't just press them,
right? So
they didn't have enough water.
They didn't have enough water. I'm like go start filling cups up,
right? So so Deborah Ann Woll takes a big drink of water. And that is not good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the water's poisoned. Like, that's. And then I realized, oh, no, you need the weight. So they figure it out. They get everybody. Jason goes through first, which they find like a screwdriver. And Jason goes into the next room. Deborah Ann Woll is next. Amanda, who has like a PTSD breakdown while she's stuck inside this vent, which I was like, I don't blame
your you. Your Tucker and Dale friend goes in after Jason.
Does he?
He's the second.
Oh, okay.
He brings in the screwdriver.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And then Amanda goes in and she kind of has a breakdown, and then Zoe goes through
after her to help her.
Yeah. They kind of, and this is where I was like, okay, well, these are the two people that are going to make it out. Like, Deborah Ann Woll is probably the most recognizable person at this point.
And that's the misdirect there, because I'm like, well, if they got her, she's the only, I mean,
but
I guess
she's not on the poster.
True. But you know, I'm just like, I'm like, they can't kill her, but that's the classic misdirect. The, oh, that person can't.
It's the
die.
Steven Seagal in Executive Decision.
Yeah. She's Drew Barrymore. And
you know, right.
Yeah.
Finally the other two, Ben and Danny, both realize, oh, we just fill the water up.
Yeah.
And so they fill up the water, and of course the one cup that they need is the cup that
she drank.
Amanda
they
drank.
Gave them just enough water for to the solve four. The puzzle.
Yeah, for the cups.
Yeah.
And luckily, Ben has his flask on him. And I was like, well, that works out.
I like
guess.
That. And then also part of me is like, other stuff weighs too.
Yeah, right. It doesn't have to be water. You like, could be anything.
Like, if your hands can press it, then that means anything can weight it. But anyway, I like how it's like, yeah, he's troubled. He carries a flask. It's
right. I do like that the chandelier turns into like, a flamethrower.
And as they go into the vent, the last one goes, jumps into the vent, and the thing just crashes down on the table.
The whole room explodes.
I just realized, too, that if they didn't know they were in the escape room yet. They thought they were in a waiting area. So if they were just lounging around and drinking water, they wouldn't have ever had that option to get out of there.
Right.
Let's, movie's over. That's the end of that.
Well, at least four of them could have gotten out. The others would have been.
Right. See ya. So we go to the next room, and it's like it's a log cabin. And now they're all freaking out. And of course, Danny's just like, Danny is kind of saying like, but we didn't get hurt. Like the thing went off as soon as I got out of the room.
Yeah, he's like, they
none
waited.
Of us were hurt.
We triggered it by escaping.
Right.
And, you know,
we're
he's
fine.
Yeah.
So
he's been to a lot of these. I mean, he's been to 100 or over 100. And so he knows how they work. And these other people had only heard of them.
Right.
They've never done an escape room. So he's like, no, there's a games master. They're watching all the time and triggering these events.
Yeah. We see cameras all over the place. So in this next one, this door has two locks on it. They quickly find the key that goes to the first lock.
Jason does. So Jason is like, yep, let's get through these things. Let's get out of here.
Right.
And so he gets one lock, and then the next is like a Da Vinci code looking.
Yeah.
Like
it's a tumbler.
Yeah.
And so it's got a name on it, and they can't, you know, it's a 7-letter name. And if this was the one where I was like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
Well, that's all of you were dumb.
Yeah. Brad said it out loud, and I was thinking the same thing in my head.
It's
I'm
Rudolph.
Like, how do you not know? You'll go down in history. And I guess for us, too, it was just Christmas time. So like,
even if it's not Christmas time.
I know, but
like,
especially in our heads, like we just finished with Christmas.
Right.
So when you see you'll go down in history, and even like 2 weeks ago, I saw Rudolph at the Fox on stage.
Sure,
so
sure.
Like, I'm just, in my mind, it's
right.
Like no
brainer. And then Ben kind of looks at this wall of antlers.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they're reindeer antlers. Like this is very, and then we get a flashback to Ben where he's in a car and he's with all of his friends and they're drinking while they're driving and they're singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And there's a screech of a tire. And then finally, like they're naming,
right as they sing the line, you'll go down in history is when it like,
And he must have told someone about this. Cause in my mind, I'm like, well, how would they know they were singing that song? The only thing I could think of is maybe a psychiatrist. He told the story. I mean, I'm just trying to understand how would
something
they
tells me Ben wasn't going to a psychiatrist.
Well, whatever count.
There
someone
might've been an investigation.
Oh, maybe that's true.
You
that's
know,
true. Yeah.
To know this, because at first I'm like, how would they know? But I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of ways that he could tell that story to someone. And
but
then,
also if he killed four people drinking and driving, why isn't he in jail?
Also, why are no drunk drivers who kill people in jail?
None of them have ever gone to jail for it?
Not that I can. I mean, I've seen plenty of cases where people were hammered drunk and got probation.
And when
he might have been a minor at this point, too.
Who's the Rams football player?
Okay, but that's money.
That's true.
I don't mean therefore it's okay.
Right.
But I mean, this kid doesn't have money to get a lawyer to get him off.
Totally.
But if he's a minor, then they may have only given him.
Brock Turner raped a girl and didn't do jail time.
Again, he had money.
Also true.
But there's a lot of stories of first-time offenders with nonviolent crimes to where, you know, it's like, obviously it's not good that he.
I got you.
It wasn't a violent. He wasn't trying to.
Yeah. Right.
He screwed up. He got people killed. It's terrible. But like the court might have been like, well, you need to be on probation and this and that, but not.
We don't want to ruin his poor life.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So they do like where they're going through. They're like, what's a president's name that's 7 letters? And Zoe's like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, I was surprised how many things they went through. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of possible answers.
Right. And I was just like, oh, that's. And I do like where she goes. Well, one kid was like, way to go, Rain Man. And the other one's like, hey, that's kind of offensive. Don't do that. So they figure out that it's Rudolph and they get outside and they go what looks like in the middle of nowhere into a cabin.
Yeah.
Or into the freezing woods.
And as we get to the end of the movie, we learn how this stuff is all happening. I like that this movie actually makes a lot of sense with how they did it, because you're thinking like, how did they get so much space in a building? But if there's technology involved,
right.
And then for us as a viewer watching a movie, it's like, no, it's not just like that's crappy CG. It's like, well, if it's simulated,
right.
Then the backgrounds aren't going to look photorealistic. They're fake backgrounds.
Right.
And so it looks like they're in the middle of this huge iced over forest, right. But if it's all simulated.
And so, like, that's the thing, is it looks like you're just like, are we into another dimension? And then Danny kind of keeps walking forward and walks into a wall. And it's a video wall.
Like a force field kind
of. Yeah. Well, I think it's a video wall.
It's the video wall.
Oh, because well, it looked like it was supposed to be like a force field.
It looked
field.
Like it, and we didn't know yet. But see, that's why it's like, well, how that? Because when we were watching this movie, it's like they're in a building. Right. How the hell are, where? How did they get outside? How did they get into this huge environment? But they're using technology to simulate, which I'm like, wow, this actually makes a lot more sense.
Oh, look, how many times you go to Disney and you're in a building, but you feel like you're somewhere else.
Totally.
You know?
So
I'll take your word for it.
And then we'll talk about the end of the movie, but it makes a lot more sense how they pulled all this off.
Right, right. So now they're in. Now we.
But he also steps on the ice and it like cracks.
Well, the ice
like,
is legit. Like, that's, yeah. So we've got. So now we get Jason's backstory where there's a jacket and one jacket that gives Jason a flashback to.
We didn't. We don't get his till later.
But we know that the jacket.
We
is
we will
him,
later.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, even from the way he looks at the jacket.
Oh, true.
He's like, oh.
But the flash forward is later. Okay. Yeah. But okay. But this jacket is his. The cold.
Oh,
in
that's
the jacket
right. It's in the hospital.
It's way further. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
but Ben steps into a fishing hole. Whatever.
Right. And this is So we find a hole, but all of our other characters are bouncing. So they start shooting. Like freezing air into the room. Yeah. So it's getting progressively colder and colder. So all of our characters are kind of bouncing around. Mike, Tyler Labine, just happens to look up and sees a fishing line. Mm-hmm.
Well, because the dog points, the wolf
points. Oh, that's right. The wolf is looking at it.
And he climbs a tree for the first time ever.
Yeah.
He's all excited. Yeah. He's climbed a tree for the first time.
And it's also like, I appreciate that they did, like every character, like Jason kind of has a sinister background. Obviously, Ben has some damage going on. Tyler Labine's character never has a moment where it's just like, oh, you're not a good dude after all.
No.
Yeah. Like he plays the good dude the entire time.
Zoe doesn't, and the Deborah Ann Woll character doesn't.
No, Amanda doesn't either. Yeah.
The Donnie or whatever, the nerdy
we
kid
never,
doesn't.
We don't worry. He doesn't last long enough for us to get a character.
Well, someone's got to go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they get the fishing rod because they're like, well, the key to this door must be in the water.
In the water.
How are we going to get it out?
And then, you know, they're trying to fish around. They can't find it. Finally,
well, they
Zoe...
drop the... They obviously, I guess they're already up high in the building because this thing drops and the whole line unspools. And they're like...
It's like, oh, that's deep.
So how are we going to get anything when...
Right.
You know,
so Zoe had found a compass... And the compass, like, I think whatever she found
or something
that says true north is a lie.
Yeah, true north is a lie.
So she's trying to figure that out. Well, she figures that true, like, she's looking at the compass, and the compass points right at a polar bear, like, exhibit, basically. Mm-hmm. So she reaches into the polar bear's mouth. I was like, well, you're going to lose an arm. Like, I've seen enough movies where I know what happens here. And she pulls out, like, a magnet. Mm-hmm. And they hook the magnet onto the fishing rod. Lower it back down and it clinks and they pull up this
something heavy.
Yeah,
that's some good line. That's a good advertisement for whatever that fishing line is. Because
so they pull up this block of ice and they're the key to get to this other to get out of here is in this block of ice.
So we know Ben is a smoker and he took cigarettes and a lighter with him and he's smoking every chance he can get. So he wanders off into a corner pouting about being cold and all this stuff.
Because his foot did go. I mean, that
would be freezing. I'm not saying, but he's still being kind of a douche.
Right.
And they're like, hey, throw us your lighter. We need to melt this. And he's like, here it is. And he throws it to Danny and just like on the ice in the middle of the ice.
Right. And so Danny goes and gets it. The ice breaks and we lose
Goodbye.
Danny. Yeah. Which, I mean, yeah. So then everybody's freaking out.
See, I took that. And they never really circled back to it, but I took that as he violated the rules because he was using an outside item that he brought in to help.
Hmm.
Oh.
Makes it because I thought it was a weird scene. I looked over at Kevin before it transitioned to him using it. I was like, why don't they just use the lighter? And then when it got to him tossing the lighter, he said it in such a weird way and just kind of tossed it on the ice. And I'm like,
well, he's being a jerk.
Yeah,
to everyone. I mean,
but then the convenience of the whole, like, they've walked on this ice long enough now,
right?
And then suddenly,
and then this
that
guy
spot specifically
instantly,
where the lighter lands,
right? And so I took it as like
you know, you
triggered that point.
Because they told you before you go in, don't use your cell phone. Don't right. Like, you're not.
Well, take their cell phones away.
Right.
And somebody sneaks one in.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
that's an interesting thought that they triggered it because he was going to use the lighter.
Right.
Because
you're not supposed to use.
Yeah. And they knew he had a cell phone, too. So.
Yeah. And he's also. Yeah. He's also the games guy because think about how many other puzzles he might have been able to solve quicker.
Right.
And it's like, you got to get rid of that guy.
From a storytelling standpoint, it makes sense that they would get rid of him first.
Right. But no, it's interesting. Totally. I just took it as the ice. I mean, you already heard it crack once before he fell in. And so I took it as it's just dangerous. And then douchebag throws it in the middle and it's already cracking. And it just he happened to step out into it. But it's a good theory.
It just seems like a lighter wouldn't be enough to.
Not crack lighter, just crack I ice. Mean, just that he walked onto a part that was already cracking. And when you walk back onto it, it just cracks more.
Well, I think they were shooting things up from the bottom, too, because when they have to run across it after unlocking it, you see all breaking. These.
Well, they definitely destroy it later.
So is it possible they did that for at the lighter spot,
too?
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, for sure. It's a good.
So, so we lose Danny. And this is a good scene where, like, they're wiping the snow away from the ice, and you see his body kind of like. And
Amanda's trying to jump in, but they're like, you can't
go in that water. There's a current. And I do like where they're all focusing on one area.
I like this too.
And
the
then
body.
You see him like on the other side floating away. And I was like, ooh, that was.
Because this is the first death you get and no one dies in the first room. So we don't really know how people are going to be dying. And as soon as he goes under, I'm like, oh, well, they're going to Willy Wonka it. At this point.
Each room, we're going to lose somebody.
They're going to lose someone, but they're all at the end going to teach Zoe some valuable lesson or whatever.
Right.
And but you see his body.
I think I would have liked that better.
What?
The Willy Wonka version.
But I mean, I think that'd be interesting, but also that's the super predictable just because we've seen things that are fake before.
But
and
I think it would make more narrative sense.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? That's true.
But I think it also makes it harder to make sequels.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Because you've removed any real threat from the equation.
Well, what they do, I will say, in Saw is they bring...
Now, just keep going with this.
Like, it's all, they find a way to do that.
Clearly, seven times.
Yeah, well, at least in the first two, there's a reason.
But so I thought this was really cool. I do like when they're all focusing on one spot and you see his lifeless body
like,
freezing.
On the other side.
At a clear spot of the ice. Yeah. So, like, we see that, no, he's really dead. I mean, unless they somehow faked that. Like, they're showing you, no, the stakes are real.
Right.
This guy's gone.
Right. So then they all have to kind of, like, huddle, like, Jason kind of says, our body heat will... We'll get this. We'll melt this thing.
I'd love to know the logistics of this.
I mean, body heat will melt it, but I don't think. I mean, I
but
don't
how
know.
Cold it is, and them not like just freezing. I don't know. I just thought.
Anyway, but I think it could work because it's like your hands have warmth,
right?
And once you kind of get it going, and also they should have been rubbing their hands because friction is what really takes it down.
Right.
I remember when I was in radio, we would do these contests with ice sculptures where you like guess how long it's going to take. And we would do them in the middle of the summer. Because ice lasts a frighteningly long time. And even in the middle of summer, like it was July 4th weekend.
So especially in the freezing cold, I'm like, that is going to take a lot.
And so what we would do is we would put fans on the ice.
Yeah.
Right? And so you think that that's going to make it last long because it's going to cool it down. But the constant wind friction actually makes it melt faster. So people think... We're trying to keep it cool because it's the summer, and really we're trying to make it melt faster so we're not there. Because this ice sculpture, this was set up for a 3-day event, and if we didn't put a fan on it, it wouldn't have melted fast enough. Like, that's how long these things could last.
A 3-day event in the summer?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so because... It you know, because it's a giant block of ice, it ends up cooling itself. I mean, obviously eventually ice melts.
Right.
But it when it gets that big, it takes a lot longer than you might think. Yeah.
That's why I was very surprised they were able to just, like, put their hands on it. In that cold for, you know, and because their body temperature would be lowering too as it's that cold. And so I just don't know. The other thing I didn't like about it is how, like, they had to evenly melt it.
Right.
Like, I was thinking if their hands are all on top.
Right. Just go for the
down.
Spot to where the key's at.
Also, I got to tell you, take the butt end of that
fishing rod
and just smash
it. Well,
when
it was that low, then I'm also like,
also
like, smash that thing open because ice cubes break at certain points. But anyway.
They should. Pee on it. Also
totally that would be because I mean totally think about it. When you put ice cubes in your drink, they melt fast because of the whatever even room temperature water is. So that would definitely
so anyway
oh We're all much better escape room.
and I will say, you know, my solution in any escape room
is to pee on it.
Is to pee on whatever it is.
Yeah.
See that lock?
Pee on it. It'll be fine.
They burnt their hand.
Pee on it. So they finally the ice. Tyler Labine kind of takes it upon himself, since he's the biggest of these guys of everybody in this room.
Huddle over it.
He's wearing the coat like that. This one.
They're sharing the coat.
He's wearing the jacket. He kind of like bear hugs it, and he passes out eventually. But right before he passes out, the key becomes removable.
Yeah.
And then Jason goes kind of crazy because he kind of says, like, when it's this cold and you're exposed this long, you get hypothermia.
He starts going
into great detail about the effects of hypothermia.
Right.
And people are like, how do you?
Well, he even says he's got like this massive scar on his hand. He's like, it's a climbing accident or a boating accident.
What a douchebag. Can you play video games? No. Yeah. I'm usually having sex with adult women.
Yeah. Just like, ugh, get
kind
away.
Of a good burn, but really not a douchebag. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of funny and snarky, but also like, you're a douche.
But it fits
the character.
It does fit the character. It's not funny or snarky because there's no relationship between the two. Like, they had met 5 minutes prior.
Right. So it's just like, no, he's a total douche to that kid. Yeah, he's being nice and like, whatever. Yeah.
Right. The kid's just trying to talk to him.
It shows you how much of a douche this guy is.
So they go to the next room.
This is like the asshole Will Smith.
Yeah. So they go to the next room and it's a bar. But when they walk in, they realize everything is upside down.
I love
down.
This shot. Yeah. I love really it cool. when they turn the camera and they're on the ceiling because everything's upside down. It's just, this movie has some really neat shots.
It does.
The editing and I was just like, wow, visually, this is a pretty cool movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love the shots of Deborah Ann Woll upside down. Because of the way the camera is. Right. So everything is upside down. So when they turn the camera to make things look right side up, she looks like she's hanging upside down.
Right.
But she's really just on her like knees and hands.
It
but
looks weird.
It's really very, neat. Yeah.
So they're in they realize that there's no handle on the door, but the eight ball is missing. So the eight ball has to be.
Yeah. And I love this type of stuff because this is just like those games I mentioned earlier when you play the Seventh Guest or 11th Hour, these old computer games.
Right.
You're in a room or an area and you have to find things and solve it. So like when they're looking around and they're like, oh, this eight ball is missing and this code on this, like my brain is just like instantly I'm fascinated by this type of movie.
So then they start trying to like figure out like where's the eight ball, and then there's this song playing.
Over and over.
And there's like a
Tucker is it Dale or Tucker? Which one's he?
I think he's Tucker.
Okay, he's like, there's a phone. How am I going to get that? And it falls into his hand.
Right, I did like that. We're just going to drop.
Goes to answer it, and then it's like a dial up noise that's screeching. Yeah. Like,
and then
just,
part of the ceiling drops
every time this phone lets out this high pitched like dial up noise.
Right. So they all jump off the floor.
Yeah, the floor in sections, little strips, is falling.
And it's not sequential. There's this one side of the far right. Then there's
I think they were going to the middle. I feel like it was like outside.
Oh, is that what it was?
And the final one's the center.
That makes sense.
It's like break the ice.
It is kind of like break the ice.
So they all cling to the wall.
Right. And then Zoe figures out that Amanda finds a safe. And I do like where Tyler Bean's like, try 1, 2, 3, 4. And the one guy's like, well, we know Mike's pin code.
Right.
She climbs up and like clearly she's very athletic. She has a military training background and everything. And so she climbs up to the very top to find that safe. So she's kind of hanging up there the entire time while they're all frantically clinging to the walls and everything. Intense. This movie's pretty intense.
It can be.
This is probably the best scene.
I would agree.
The whole time I'm watching this movie that I had these no expectations for, as they're solving these puzzles and it's dramatic, even with the ice in the last scene and the fire and this scene especially, I'm just like, this movie is doing a great job accomplishing what it's trying to do.
Right. It really,
edge your seat, like
it ramping up the tension.
Yeah,
for sure. So she finds the thing and then Zoe realizes there's a slide puzzle.
Which I'm like, how in the hell do you ever solve that?
Right.
Do you see the way the pictures line
up?
Colors.
Yeah, but I feel like Zoe, I mean, we obviously know that she's a genius.
so she sees it and she knows how to
make I'm the just saying work. That
like,
puzzle
if it had been
like,
any other character I would agree, but since they used the smartest character
they have an excuse because she's a smart character.
But what was the solution?
I have
that
no
was
idea.
Just the color
strips,
stripes
of colors
and then the colors match the balls
she
on
had
the...
to complete a picture. And I get that if it was just a picture, but each picture it was like a it was like those collages you see where it's a bunch of little pictures that make a big picture.
Well, I felt like, do you remember those puzzles as a kid? That was like, there were little squares.
Slide puzzles. Yeah. I'm saying, though, that those usually make a picture that's one normal picture.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Each slide, each square of the slide puzzle was a different color and picture that made a collage big picture. So I'm like, how on earth would anyone ever.
Right. Yeah,
but
I
your
agree.
Excuse is she's a genius character. But I'm thinking like, you know.
But she's the only one who legitimately solved the puzzle to make it
right.
There.
Right. Yeah. So, so she figures it out. She gives the code. Like, we're still losing these pieces of the floor.
And she how does she solve it with the colors? I can't even. Oh, the
colors match the balls.
They're the stripes of the balls.
The stripes of the balls.
Right.
But then they're like, oh, the room's upside down.
So
I
flip
like
it.
That.
Flip. Yeah, I thought that was a clever.
Right. 0192 or whatever.
Right.
Instead,
So the eight ball pops out. Deborah Ann or Amanda starts to like.
This is a stressful moment.
It's like American Ninja Warrior where she's like shimmying across the side
and the
of this.
Eight balls in her pocket. This is
and she's obviously she's wearing skinny jeans.
Yeah,
so like the eight ball is barely in her pocket to begin with.
But
like
they know how to ramp up the tension, because not only is the floor dropping, Jason almost bites it by the floor falling under him and he grabs the ledge.
Right,
so it's already stressful.
And the whole like they're all holding on to the puzzle, and the puzzle comes off.
But you
the
see
wall.
Her climbing with the eight ball inching out of her pocket.
Well,
and
no, like it's she like pulls her legs up and she's like trying to army crawl.
Well, right.
And then,
she's
and
upside
the,
down
and
it's bulging out of her pocket.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, oh my God.
And then it falls into the final.
I thought she was going to catch it like
so
with her hand, but she doesn't. It literally rolls on the floor and almost.
And she has to drop off and catch the. She catches it and then she hears the dial-up noise happens, and she immediately looks at Jason and like, you know, chucks him the eight ball. And she grabs onto
the... She hangs onto the world's strongest pine cord ever. I don't care. I'm not saying she's heavy,
we'll
but...
Say we'll say, what, 130 pounds? Because, I mean...
Even at 80 pounds, I'm like, oh, my
God. I was like, there's no way that this phone cord is holding
not
on.
Not a chance, but whatever.
She does, just long enough to get, you know, a little moment.
Well, the one guy holds out the pool cue.
Yeah, I was
trying
like,
to grab onto it. I'm like, dude,
that's
there's
even
no
worse.
Way you're strong enough.
You think, I was like, you think you're not going to pull him into the... I mean, that's what would happen. She would pull... it and her body
when they
just,
when they I was like, please don't let her climb out like that's
I thought she was gonna swing from the phone cord.
That was the only option she had,
like that was
besides
the
phone cord just snapping
if I can hold her. I'm like, well, you gotta swing
right
but,
or try to climb up it and try to hold on to one of those.
But she's like, it's okay,
she lets go when we see her fall into the pit of despair,
and it takes a while. It's like one of those like waiting thud.
Right. So then we go to the next room, and this is the hospital room. Yeah. And we get everybody's backstory. We get the car accident with Ben.
For the Donnie, right?
No,
the first
Danny.
Kid.
They say that they have a file on him.
He died, his family died from carbon monoxide
poisoning.
Oh,
that's
okay.
He survived
because he's the first file they found. I couldn't remember. I guess they didn't show it.
Say that Amanda was the survivor of an IED. Yeah. That Zoe was the survivor of the plane crash, and then Jason kind of gives. You know, like as soon as Jason gives his story, I was like, "Bull."
Same here.
Bull.
I was like
"You killed that guy."
Oh,
and
totally.
Took his jacket.
Yeah. Oh, he got crazy and swam off.
Yeah, and left his jacket with me. And I was like, "Nope."
See, and this is the part where we were talking about like the way these stories could have came together and how it would have been interesting. In my mind, I'm like, I thought this was going to be punishment for something they did,
which is soft.
So you've got the car accident. He killed the people.
Right.
This guy killed his friend to survive on the wreck. So I'm like, oh, if they're all getting punished for being bad, then it makes you even feel a little less sorry for them if they all did something.
Right.
So,
but we find out that they're not all bad.
No. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay. They know what they've done, and okay.
So. We get in this room and this tape starts to play about Dr. Wu Tan Yu.
Yeah, and heart surgery.
They're like in a hospital ward.
Yeah, all of their
it's called triage.
It is called triage. All of their beds look like the beds that they had inside the hospital. We find out that Tyler Labine's character was the sole survivor of a mine collapse. Mm-hmm. And I do like where he's like, he doesn't blame anybody. He's just like, occupational hazard. He's like, and I heard my brother die.
Yeah, it was no one's fault.
Yeah,
it's
just part of the job.
Yeah, he heard his breath slowly go out.
Right.
Yeah.
So they figure out that there's an EKG machine and the only they're going to release this poison gas in 5 minutes, and the only way to get out is to get somebody's heart rate the right rhythm to unlock the room.
And this is another part where I'm sorry, I can't help it, but like I had to call BS. I'm like, they're in this situation where they're going to die, and some of their heart rates are that slow. Like, well, I get anxious about less
well, they
crazy
weren't. That
things
was the problem. Those. Like, they were all too fast.
Yeah, they had to.
No,
had,
but no. But they're the heart rate.
Like he's saying, when you saw their heart rate, he thought it was too low.
Yeah, he had to meditate to get under like natural heart rate. What I'm saying is that they were at resting heart rates of normal resting heart
right,
rates.
Okay,
they're about to die, and you're telling me their heart rate's at 80 beats per minute? I'm like, that
well,
just
no,
doesn't.
Well, no, he does that to himself.
Yeah,
he gets himself to
80.
He goes into like a meditation mode and gets his heart.
But no, other people but, only had
no because when yeah. they did it, when Ben put it on, Ben was in like the 90s.
Okay, but that's
then,
not
and
fast.
And then Tyler Labine was in like 132.
Like 130 yeah. or 140, yeah. yeah,
and then he gets yeah. electrocuted. It's way yeah. higher.
But I'm just talking about the other people other than Tucker. I'm saying their heart rates were very low for the situation.
Well, I say the only one they did was Ben. The only other person they did because Zoe's running around. Zoe goes
but
back.
But Jason's
to,
before he meditated was low.
They never put it on. Jason didn't put it on until
he did before he meditated.
Oh,
he just puts it on. It's like 80 something. I'm just saying they're all in this survival situation.
Right.
Those were very low heart rates.
Okay.
But I just was
so
like,
Zoe goes back and is like, she remembers something, you know, the
well, I also wonder though how long when you're in a survival situation, because they've been in it for hours.
Right. Right.
Like
how long are you
you're
still
not going to be
keyed up
at peak panic.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
that's fair. I just, yeah. you know,
although
just,
they did also just get out of a very panicky.
Yeah.
And they just lost like their best player.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So Zoe goes back to this thing that her doctor, the professor had said about like a watch pot never boils. And they're like, they keep watching us. If we take the cameras out of the equation, we're going to change. Like we have to be able to win because right. they can't see us. They
I
have
like
to,
this pays
to,
off.
Yeah.
At
she
first
has
I'm
to
like,
come get
oh,
us.
Poor girl. Like just, what are you doing? Like you're killing yourself.
Right.
Because you don't know that it's going to, you're thinking,
you
oh,
no
she's going to face her fear and that's her end of her story. But she like faced her fear.
Yeah.
Right.
Later on, there's a little
head, payoff.
Yeah. Head yeah. fake. But
so she's going around smashing the cameras. Mike and Jason and Ben are trying to figure out how to get this EKG machine to work. Jason decides to shock the bejesus out of Mike and kills him.
Yeah.
Like that's how Mike, like he gives him a heart attack basically and kills him.
He's like, you're the biggest guy.
And
so you're
finally, he's like, oh no, wait, we got to go the opposite way.
Right.
Oh, I know. After he kills the guy. Right. Well, I guess that didn't work.
Yeah. So he kind of goes into meditation mode. He gets his heartbeat down to like under
50
or whatever. Yeah. And the door opens up. Ben and Jason run through their gun. So the gas is already released at this point. Zoe,
yeah, we should say there's poison gas
yeah.
that's going to go off. They've while they're finding
five,
the
they
AKG,
have 5 minutes. Yeah,
there's yeah, a little gas, and they're like, oh, it's going to poison us
right.
if we don't.
So we see Zoe kind of crawling on the floor, and Ben sort of has a character. This is Ben's turn, sort of, where he's like, we got to go back and get her. And Jason's like, nope, not happening. Like she's gone. She made her choice. They go into this next room. This is where it goes full Willy Wonka.
This is
the
nuts.
The tunnel of craziness. Oh, and I was God. Like. Whoa, this movie has taken a weird turn.
Yeah.
Like,
this is nuts. I love the way they filmed
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's so cool.
It's, but, like, it's funny. I saw this at Ronnie's, and much like Spider-Man, there were two warning, like, printed sheets were
yeah.
just like, look, there's something in this movie that may cause
see
epilepsy.
I was wondering because there's a strobe light in this scene and
yeah.
I didn't see any warnings or anything. I'm like,
I didn't have any warnings.
No, there were two warnings. There were
no
so they
just have to post them at like the ticket booth, like
yeah.
you don't
yeah
like they're there.
No,
but
they were on the doors when you walk in, like when you walk in the main theater.
Oh, ours
yeah,
yeah, ours didn't
not,
have that.
Not the theater itself, but like the glass doors to get into the theater.
Oh,
like they're on the doors.
Okay.
One was for Spider-Man and one was
gotcha.
For this. So yeah, it goes.
They
full...
should put up warnings like if a movie is a piece of crap.
Yeah. Hey, look, this is really bad.
Yeah,
don't go see it. So yeah, like they find, you know, this is where we get the real Jason.
There's a hatch.
Well, we get the real Jason story, where it's like yeah. he killed his friend and took his jacket and threw him overboard
yeah.
and threw him off this thing so he could survive. And Jason's like, yeah, I'm a survivor. It's yeah. what I do. So there's a hatch.
He's not going to give up.
Nope. So they try to move the hatch. And then Jason immediately goes, ugh, what is this?
So the hatch, the door was
I
coated
like it was
with
like
some kind
LSD
of.
LSD is what I thought it was.
It was DMT.
Oh, did they say what it was?
Dimethyltryptamine, which is the supposedly the chemical your brain makes as you die.
Oh.
And so
okay.
it's a off the charts crazy hallucinogenic.
Yes, yeah. And it does.
Yeah.
Like people he's like, oh man, your face is melting, and Ben's like, my face is melting
yeah.
and then like
it's
really
crazy stuff. If Yeah, it's the active hallucinogenic compound in, I don't even know how to say it, ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah.
People smoke it, yeah.
Yeah, and but it's, yeah, it's supposedly the chemical that, like, Doug Stanhope
yeah.
has a whole bit about
oh, really?
Taking DMT.
Oh.
And that's how I knew what it was.
Okay. Because
I might shock you, I've never taken hallucinogens.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and, well, I know I'm pretty party animal, kind of known yeah, for that, but yeah, sure. you know, I got a line, and but
you did a line,
yeah,
yeah.
But he's got a great story about it. It's worth seeking.
Okay,
out. But that's how. As soon as I was like, "Is this DMT?"
Okay,
and then
cool.
when, and he says it in passing, like pretty deep into the scene.
Oh, he does.
He does say DMT. Okay. He okay. says DMT.
Who does?
Jason, I believe.
Okay,
and so but it does get mentioned by name because I was just okay. like. Hey, I was right. Yeah, hey, I knew sounded, something about drugs. Yeah.
It sounded familiar, and I don't remember where they say it, but when whatever it was, I was like, I think I know that. I don't know what it is, but I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah so they,
it's like beyond LSD.
They are tripping balls.
Yeah.
And it's the, like, cool. The like the camera does a weird and, like fisheye lens, and like, you know, I mean, as the character moves, their nose and face gets bigger.
And it's right. already in a scene that has
you've got like a static TV
that
got,
has practical
yeah.
visual
yes.
Like optical yeah. illusions.
The right. whole room right. looks like one of those spiral things that spins and makes you yeah. view on
or like that room at the Magic House where it's like if you stand at the front yeah. you look really tiny and the yeah and yeah. so like they're already doing like
yeah
like I said practical optical
and then
illusions,
when you add the,
and then they start making a twisty turny right. yeah.
yeah the so very they, first scene of the of that is when we find out Jason's story of like how it was
the real story
this real story and Ben, I like the shot where they're standing apart from one another. Where Ben looks at Craig, they're about
oh,
the
they
same
did.
Size.
Yeah,
but
you're
Ben's
right.
down
right.
on the left side, and he's towering over him on the right side because of the optical
he
illusions
like a
of the room. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
When they told this story, when we get Jason's story, and they cut back, I thought that they were like on an iceberg. I thought it was water on the ground, and I guess just because the optical illusions are so weird.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, they can't move off.
You know
this
what?
Platform.
I did think the same thing.
Did you think it was water?
I felt like that there was water in like rising.
Yeah,
in the room.
In the room.
Yes,
for
yes.
some reason, with that backstory. In the optical illusions, I thought they were stranded and they were going to have to like
right.
survive on and
get that thing open and yeah. then get out of there.
So they were tripping.
I was. Man, woo-wee. So they get into they open up the hatch and there's the antidote. Just in a massive.
Well, he just
syringe.
Like knocks the wall and it pops.
Is
out.
That what it was?
It's, on the hatch,
it's not
yeah.
in the hatch.
No.
Okay.
Like he's pretty trusting at this point to believe that that's the antidote.
I thought whoever took it was going to die.
Me too.
That's I thought it was. A
I
fake
was like,
out.
I don't think this is.
Jason's
really
going to be a jerk, and yeah.
He's
going
like, to smash.
I'm going to steal it
and
take it and kill himself.
Die.
Yeah.
Right. Not the case.
Nope.
There's a fight that ensues, and Ben just happens to push Jason over, and Jason smashes his head
over,
on the corner of a table. And Ben takes the antidote, and immediately he's okay. But Ben is not, or Jason is not.
Right.
Yes. We all
dead.
Boohooed for Jason for half yeah. a millisecond.
And I was
then
like, man, why?
On.
Like he lasted longer than the character that I liked.
Yeah.
All right, fine. So, Jason, this is now we flash forward to the beginning of the movie where Ben smashes
yeah.
through.
Yeah,
the
we're
thing.
Finally in
I'm
this
like,
room.
Oh,
finally
back here. Okay, that was him. I thought it was.
They
but I'm like,
they fast forward through the whole thing, so I had to sit through it all again.
Thankfully,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And then at the same time, now we go back to the when we think we've lost Ben. We think we go back
like
to the hospital room.
Yeah, I like this because I mean, again, the whole time you're like, what is happening? Who's in control?
Right.
And we finally see outsiders other
These
than
two
the,
Russians. Yeah. Russian dudes walk in and they're just like, what was she planning?
We got an hour to clean this up, and I'm like, oh my god, they're yeah. doing this like constantly to where people are dying and they have to clean it up to look like nothing.
Right. Yeah. Right. So they're like, what was like? We see an oxygen mask. Had fallen out of one of the cameras, and they're like, "What was she planning on doing with this?" And she pops
Breathe.
Back, yeah, and she shoots them both.
She's
and
like,
I was like,
"Breathing, bitch."
When did
well,
she
hits them, and
she?
A gun falls.
Oh, that's they right, that's gun. Right. She takes the gun. Yeah, yeah.
She,
she
just
the...
happens to have a gun. And...
But no, yeah. well, yeah, yeah. So
strapped to her back with duct tape.
Duct tape. Yeah, she's got two bullets.
Yippee-ki-yay.
So yeah, so then she starts kind of like working her way back through. Just when we think that Ben is dead, this panel opens up, and he falls out. Of this panel, and he's not dead, and he walks into this room, and we see all of the.
Oh right, because he survives by going into the fireplace. So the
right.
wall's closed, but the wall is a fireplace, and he's able
well, the
to.
Well, the fireplace opens up, Like, he gets the puzzle right, and the door doesn't open, but the fireplace right. opens up just enough where he can survive.
Yeah, he puts a shield, like some kind of metal, on the side of the fire, right. which I, you know, guess sure, wasn't whatever. Hot enough to burn him, whatever. But he's able to block himself, and then, yeah.
He falls out, yeah. So then we're introduced to the guy who was in the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
This guy, yeah. he was her second social okay. worker guy.
I had no idea who this was, and so when they show him, I felt like I was supposed to be like, that guy, but I'm Bert like, I don't
Bierman,
know.
I think was his yeah. name.
I'm like, movie. I have no idea who this is, yeah. but okay.
He's the guy that gets it.
Good.
Remember, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to get
yeah,
got.
He got.
The social worker guys.
Well, all right. My wife's one. Let's take it easy.
No, from Dragon Tattoo. All right. From Dragon Tattoo. Why would I say social workers need to?
No. So he kind of explains. He's like, look, rich people have, it's the same excuse we always get with rich people where it's like, they just need new forms of entertainment. They've seen everything.
I mean, this is like, what is it, the most deadly game or something? The most deadly game. Yeah. So like, I mean, I liked this because it's like, wow, this makes sense. We've seen it before. The ultra rich.
Right. Yeah. I just was like, this is
where it kind of loses me.
Here. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, we need to resolve it. It's when the movie goes on for 20 more minutes and I'm like, oh, good.
There is
Lord.
A, yeah. There's like, when you think it's a Lord of the Rings.
Their epilogue is
the final destination.
They did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did.
They even meet at a cafe and
right
on the,
and
yeah.
I was like, ugh.
I know. I'm like, the way they should have done it, you know, once we get through all this, you know, escaping stuff, is it should have been like, secret organization, boom, set it up for a sequel. I'm like, I don't
or
need
you,
them.
Yeah.
To...
So like the advantage of Saw is there's a reveal.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, well, what the hell?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
End it.
Yeah.
Let you think
and
about
you
it.
You think
it's
going to end. Yeah. And it's just like, well, they leave it like either we can end it. Or we can do another one.
I like that. Just let you soak in what you've watched. Oh, wow, big reveal. Like, I don't need a whole bunch of
right.
that.
But yeah, right.
So anyway, he's with the Games Master, and the Games Master's like, you won. But he's like, but at the Kentucky Derby, does the horse win a prize?
Which I like that line.
That's a great line.
It's a great
line. Strangling him with the fiber wire.
Right.
And then,
the computers kick back on.
And then there's a screen that shows each player with an X through him.
Right.
And then not Ben Foster is listed as...
In play. Then they add this guy's pictures in play.
And Zoe has an X, and
right.
then Zoe comes back in play
and shoots the guy.
And then all of a sudden now they were like Game Master in play.
Right.
And then that
Zoe shoots the Game Master.
I like that they're so ready to put the Game Master in play for their entertainment.
Oh yeah.
Like
for sure.
So this ultra rich elite, like Joe explained, it's like they get tired of the same sport and they need more things to bet on, crazier things, and so it's this
And each time they've done this
multiple times,
and they pick different things. So like different.
Oh, it was like
athletes. They did
athletes,
and then there was something else they did. And this time they were like, well, what if we got people who have already been?
What if we? I just saw this movie Unbreakable. It seemed really cool. Let's try that.
Oh, but you're right. That is another cool thing. It's like they're already the anomalies. The chance of survival is so low. Each of these was a sole survivor.
Well, Deborah Ann Wohl says that.
Right.
She's like, what they want to do is they want to see who's the best of the best.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not making this up. I mean, they say this. And so now it's like if their statistical probabilities, now they're all against each other. What are the chances of that?
Right,
so now it's like they're like, yeah, we'll throw the Game Master in there. These people are willing to do anything for entertainment to be interesting.
Right. So Zoe shoots him like in the chest. He falls down. Ben gets the gun. I do like this line too.
Make sure he's dead.
And, well, like he cuts her off. Like, she's like, make sure he's
bam,
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 bam.
He's dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
And then they kind of walk
out.
It's
the thing you wish they did in every scary movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
we're like, no, they shoot him once, they walk
away.
Well,
it's the Scream effect, right? Like, at the end of Scream, has everybody seen Scream?
Yes.
Okay. the last scene of Scream is like when Randy says, oh, no, this is the scene in the movie where the villain comes back at the very end. And then, of course, Skeet Ulrich sits up and... Courtney Cox shoots him in the head.
Boom.
And it's just like, well, not in my movie.
Right.
But it's like in most of these movies, whether it's Halloween or whatever, you know, they're like, oh, okay, the threat is over. Let's walk away. It's like, no, you go over and you chop their head off. You chop their head off, they're not getting back up.
Right. Correct. And that's game over. Yeah. And well, they do that in Halloween H2O, and it's not over.
Well, okay. Well, when there's sequel money on the table, they will find whatever way they can. But if this were real life, it's like, you got to make sure.
So we go to... the hospital, we're introduced. I gotta tell you, call me what you want, but when this cop shows up, and I was like, well, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like the doctor the entire time.
They thought that was Wu Tanyu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was totally. Like, that's the doctor.
I mean, not to try to be racist or anything, but if there's this doctor Wu Tanyu and they have an Asian doctor in the next
one
scene,
Asian character, yeah. He's the detective, but it's right. the one Asian character
but,
in the entire
but you're
show
like,
in the entire movie.
Yeah, your
like,
head well, is just going to right. Okay, well that has to be Wu Tanyu, yeah, right? Like
so he talks to Zoe. And Zoe takes him back to the warehouse, and
I like this.
Everything's gone.
At first, yeah. I'm scratching my head, like, well, now wait a minute, how could they clean this up so fast or whatever? But when you put all the pieces together, and they're
right.
using screens and
right.
the technology, it's like, wow, they simulated all that,
right?
And then,
well,
can...
I mean, it's the thing is, like, I don't know how they simulated all the burning.
No, they didn't simulate that. I just mean like all the backgrounds, and it was all in small rooms,
right.
but looked bigger,
right?
Like they had enough time
to
clean that stuff up, but they couldn't clean up.
And they built it with tearing it apart
yes.
in mind.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And then we see like on where the hatch was in the first room, it says no way out. And of course,
an anagram,
Zoe yeah. starts looking at it and she was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Wu Tanyu.
And they say that like she's like, go talk to Ben. And she was the cop was like, do you have any idea how many illegal drugs were in his
yeah.
system?
Right.
He's not like nothing he says is going
to. I was waiting for them to be like, Ben, who? Like I was waiting for them to
yeah.
all like,
oh, they're,
cover
oh,
up,
they're like,
like,
he died.
Yeah.
Like, he died. On
well,
the
I
table.
I thought that he was going to say Ben. Yeah, he didn't make it.
Right.
Yeah,
right. But, so we cut forward. 6 months later,
yeah.
there Ben and Zoe are sitting at a table, and Ben apparently has, like, gotten a corporate job.
Yeah, that was easy.
Well, he's like a rep for dog food or something. He
yeah,
says. It's
okay.
not. It's not like I mean, he.
But he's shaved and
he did. Yeah. That's how
looks,
you know.
Looks way better, scruffy.
Yeah, he looked a little weird.
Yeah,
yeah. Because well, yeah, I'm like, is that the same guy?
Yeah. yeah. So Zoe kind of lays it out and says that like each of the people who were in the room with her, they all died on their own, and they're all dead. And she has somehow traced it to this place in Manhattan.
Oh.
And then she's like, we bought plane tickets. We're going.
Like,
and if I were Ben, I'd be like, no.
Well, yeah, totally.
I have a job. I can't just
yeah.
get
also,
up and go to Manhattan.
Who goes back? I mean, this is like Jurassic Park 3 level stuff. Like, you don't go back after an almost dying.
She wants vengeance.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole part I could have done without. I'm like,
yeah.
show the mysterious organization, set it up for a whole new group of players or whatever. We don't need sequel with the same cast. Like,
right.
they're this world elite organization.
Well,
like,
we can't get a sequel with the same cast.
Right.
No, these two, they're setting up
with
for these two.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't need that. Move on. We're in a different country even.
Yeah.
We're
it's
in a,
Devin Sawa and Ali Larter all over again.
Yeah.
Does like, go to England, go do, you know, but I'm like, don't set this all up. And then they even, not only do they steal the concept, which
I
know Tom hasn't seen it, but what he says, let's play again. I'm
yeah,
like,
well,
oh, come
on. We do get
on.
A whole scene on an airplane.
On an airplane.
Where it looks yeah. like, it's the same thing. Somebody's got to serve. You know, yeah. we don't know what's going on. And then we realize it's all a simulation.
Yeah, setting
and I was
up,
like,
testing the game.
That was
practicing
actually,
the
next, right. They know that
they know they're going to get on a plane,
right.
so they're practicing yeah. what they're going to do to them.
That was well done. I'm fine, but I didn't need
but
that whole setup.
Then we get
really,
like the shadowy digital figure.
But who are all yeah. the people that are testing that? Are those
they're all working
the
for
risk?
The yeah. They all work for this organization.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of people involved in this conspiracy
in a secret
at some point.
You know, like,
yeah.
Well, just like, who was the doorman in the beginning? He obviously,
yeah.
I mean,
had to be part, yeah.
but he's like, let's play again, which is, I mean, in Saw,
yeah.
it's, you want to play,
we'll play
a little game.
But I guess they could tell them they're testing in an elaborate escape room. They don't have to know that it's actually going to be used to murder people.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's
you don't have to
yeah.
bring
yeah,
them in
at that.
It's
a focus group.
Right, right. They
yeah.
don't have
right.
to necessarily bring them in at that level.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
and that's kind of, and then it ends with that. Yeah. There's no post credits. There's no anything like that. Like, I was good until the end.
Yeah, I was
yeah,
good
the very end, I was like,
up.
Eh, but the execution of everything else was so well done
yeah.
that I was like, I had fun at a movie I didn't think I was going to
that's
like
true.
At all.
That's
I was
true.
Really entertained, and I could tell Brad wasn't, but I'm like, I really enjoyed
I, no,
this.
I enjoyed it for the most part.
He was like,
the,
oh, he's like,
there
he's
were
like,
parts that were laughable, like some of the dialogue
oh, yeah.
and stuff where I'm just like, oh my God, did they just say that? Or like, or did they just do it that way? But like, I didn't hate it.
It's not a great movie, but
yeah.
like, yeah.
I just, when I walked out, I was like, this is Saw. There's probably gonna be seven more of these now. like with
yeah.
escape
well,
rooms,
here's
but.
The thing. I think
if Saw is Van Halen, this is like Cherry Pie by Warren.
I would agree.
Right?
That's
like,
a, yep.
You
yep,
know
yep,
that's
yep.
not a good song.
No, but you
just
yeah.
still kind of dig it.
You
yeah.
also know
yeah.
that the lead singer also hated that song.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, we had one hit and it's
I
hate
was,
this song.
I was,
nah, they got more hits than that.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was thoroughly entertained.
Down Boys?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. yeah. Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Ooh, that's a good song.
Yeah, right? Yeah. See? Right. You take Fair that enough. Back. Yeah.
But I was thoroughly entertained, and like I said earlier, on the edge of my seat for a lot of this. They
yeah.
ramped the tension up where I'm like,
yeah.
I'm the stakes seem real. I'm
yeah.
In
yeah. If he didn't text me Friday morning, asked if I want to see it, because it was an early 10:15 showing, I was like, Yeah, I guess so. I got A-list now, but yeah, I have no desire to see this whatsoever. So, but like, why not? Let's go. And
it was don't look. I'm not gonna say anything. Don't look at me.
I thought it worked for what it was.
Like
was
I said,
it a breath of fresh air.
No.
Oh
no. Okay. It you know, like I said, Blumhouse has mastered the PG-13, even the rated R horror and market
for a $9 million budget. Million.
It looked good.
That's a good looking movie for $9 million.
Absolutely, and I'm shocked it took this long. And again, for other companies to be like, we can do that.
Yeah.
And I love it when they can explain away a low budget on a movie. Because again,
yeah,
I looked at some of those backgrounds and I'm like, this looks like a video game. You know what I mean? But they were simulations.
Right.
Like, totally. I like that when you can play in that world and be like, and actually justify
make it a plot point.
Yeah. It worked well.
So yeah, there it is.
So I guess escape room. I guess that's it for this one.
Let's escape on out of here.
Yeah, let's go around the table and everybody say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on reviewstl.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online in a myriad of places. On Twitter at Real Spoilers, our website, RealSpoilers.com, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, and of course, our Patreon account at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Danny, Willie, and Sedgwick, make it to freedom.
Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go?
Bismillah. No, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah. We will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah. We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Never.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.